All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a happy MLK Day on The Usual Suspects. And if you had a dream that the Chiefs and the Niners were going to be in the Super Bowl, well, you are absolutely correct. As we welcome you into the program, Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here. You guys are on holiday. We're working for the people. What's up, fellas?
What's up? Better question. How are you doing? You're okay.
Yeah, no problems.
Are we sure?
Yep. It's much easier to
Eyes are red and puffy, like you've been crying.
Maybe because if anything, that would just be from a lack of sleep.
Okay. No, fair enough.
But overall, I even tweeted it out when I normally stay off of Twitter with Packer games to avoid the idiots, which I encountered after the show. My biggest nightmare was that it would be another blowout.
Yeah.
And then I followed the tweet by saying, and dreams really do come true, because that's exactly what happened. And when it's a blowout, it's so much easier to take. I think Clarence would actually, and Saints fans would agree.
As a Texans fan, I think I know a thing or two about blowouts. Not easier to take as a blowout. I'm sorry.
Let me just say this.
I'd rather be in it than not.
But it's harder to take when you come out on the short end of the stick. So if you're the Saints last year, Or the Minneapolis Miracle, that's so much harder to digest than just going, tip my cap, they are a better team, they deserve to win.
I'm going to disagree, and here's why.
Fine.
Because as a Saints fan, you know, well, we were probably the better team. Or at least we were on par with them.
So you're pissed off more.
Yeah, well, but at least there's, like, the Texans were not the better team against the Chiefs. It was awful. When they played the Colts, it was awful.
But that's different because
they didn't deserve to be there.
You know that they won a
sorry division and got lucky just to be in the playoffs, and then that's what happens. I would much rather be like, well, we got screwed by the refs or a lucky play or something like that, instead of like, God, we just got trounced by the Colts.
But see, that's where I couldn't disagree more, because of the fact that if you can't blame it on the, you know, whatever happened in the game and the outcome happened on the field to decide it, if you're blaming the referees or you're blaming something, then you knew you had a legitimate chance to go. Then it fires you up even more than walking into that game yesterday and going, yeah. I kept trying to say to people, well, we got Aaron Rodgers, so at least we got a shot. But I told you from the get-go, I just didn't feel good about it. And
that's your reverse psychology thing, though.
That's what you and El Jefe think. But yeah, it's legitimately how I felt. And so even Lisa said, why are you so calm? I was like, because I expected this. I almost didn't look forward to the game because I just figured the inevitable was going to happen, and it did.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I want you to know, though, it does not affect my decision on who I'm going to root for next year. That is still a two-team race between the Chiefs and the Packers. I will make the decision after Super Bowl. And the Chiefs winning or losing the Super Bowl is not going to have any bearing on that whatsoever.
I can say this.
I promise you
that. As much as I thought you were going to be 100% a Chiefs fan at the end of the season, once I saw your freaking ridiculously glass half full tweet at halftime, I was like, oh, Barry might just be jumping on the Packers bandwagon if he thinks all A-Rod just got to do is this and all they got to do is that and they're going to be in this game. They are getting manhandled. So the fact that Barry was trying to be positive about what could happen to turn this game around, if you want to turn this game around, those two ridiculous turnovers at the end of the first half,
you got to take care of the ball. You expect Aaron to take care of the ball better.
I saw Aaron.
Yeah. And he needs to take care of the ball better. I mean, he deserves a lot of blame for the loss.
Yep. And what annoys me, and believe me, let me just say
and Mostert, he deserves a lot of blame for their loss, too.
Yeah, a lot of my Packer fans and friends back home and otherwise, they're so tired of his
lackadaisical whatever attitude.
The face of shaking it off and blaming everybody else. Like on the fumble from center, whether it was your fault or the center's fault, please make some effort to get down on the ground and get the ball. Don't look at it and go, somebody going to get that?
He had three fumbles. Lost one, but three times the ball was ajar.
And the pick was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. The pick was his bad.
Yep.
Well, he had two interceptions.
Well, the Hail Mary at the end with Richard Sherman,
yeah.
you can wipe that one away.
Well, it still counts.
But you gave up an extra seven on the pick with
I'm just being picky.
Under a minute. You gave up extra seven there.
Yeah.
You were driving to possibly make it 17-7 when you fumbled with the center exchange, yeah. And that's on you there. And so, not to say that the outcome would have been different, because you couldn't stop the run. If you can't stop the run in the NFL and they can just continually jam it down your throat, you're done.
You can't let a dude rush for 220 yards on you.
Nope.
That's just not going to, you're not going to win a football game if that happens. No, combining that with turnovers.
Right.
But yeah, I had the Niners winning. I had it a closer score than that. I had it 24-21 Niners, but I didn't expect Green Bay to look that bad.
They had nothing going right. And unfortunately, my worst fears came to fruition. Yeah. But you know what? Like, Charlie and I were just talking on the way in here. He was thinking that I was going to be upset too. And I was like, look, the bottom line is no one thought they were going to only lose three games this year. Right. No one thought they were going to win the division. And no one thought they'd be in the conference championship game. Regardless, it's a successful season.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. If you get to the NFC championship game, I don't care who you are or what the expectations were. If you're the Patriots, if you get that far and lose, it's still a successful season.
Yeah, even after you've won as much as they've won, because every season's different. So, look, I'll take it. And I think, look, from an NFL and a football fan's perspective, you got what everybody asked for at the start of the year. The two best teams are going to square off in the final game. What, you question that?
Well, I mean, the Saints are up there. They're not in it. Well, the Saints were one of the better teams in football this year. The Ravens were probably the best team in football this year, and they're not in it.
The best teams play their best in the biggest games. And right now, whether you say, okay, for what.
When you have a sample size of 16 games and you only lose two of those, you're pretty much the best team in football.
Right. But if you get to the biggest games when it means the most and it's win or go home, and you go home.
You lay an egg.
And you lay an egg in the process, then that's on you.
Well, there was little doubt, I think, in either of these games after a certain point. At halftime of your Chiefs-Packers game, it was done deal.
Niners-Packers.
I mean, Niners-Packers, my bad. And that I mean, that first half of the Titans-Chiefs game was
pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, people were getting on me early on saying, oh, you said it was going to be a blowout. Look what's going on here. Two halves, buddy.
Yeah.
There's always two halves to a game. Second half, pretty much came through with everything that I said it was going to be.
Yeah, you kind of knew when you saw Derrick Henry struggling a little bit that, this might
be a not happen
long,
in a playoff game.
Yeah, he needed to have the kind of game that Mostert had, and he didn't. And, you know, when you have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, just kind of like the Niners, listen, this Super Bowl, and we're going to have plenty of time to break it all down, but Mostert and that running game has to be effective against the Chiefs, because Garoppolo's not going to be the guy to win it for you.
And we keep saying balance. I keep preaching balance. As long as you have balance, your passing game or your best weapons are even more effective. If you don't have balance and a defense can key on one you know, aspect of the offense or the other, it can really set you back. And look, everybody say, well, Jimmy Garoppolo's not a good quarterback. He only threw the ball 8 times. He didn't have to.
He didn't have to, yeah. You rush for over 200 yards in a game against in the AFC or the NFC championship. Yeah, you don't need to throw the ball.
Unlike Bill O'Brien, if something's working for you and it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep going to it until you run it dry, as opposed that's working, so we're going to go try and throw the ball.
Well, let's be real. Bill O'Brien probably calls as many running plays as Kyle Shanahan and Mike Vrabel do. The difference is I'll take the Titans O-line and that Niners O-line over that Texans O-line any day of the week, including Sundays. That Titans O-line is impressive.
Oh, no.
What they do, the way that they use them, I don't know. It's just, and then you got the Niners and the way that they run that zone blocking scheme to perfection.
It's, you love that center for the Titans, don't you? Ex-Texan Ben Jones. And Luan is a badass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the Taylor fact Luan that they went and got Roger Saffold from the Rams, and he solidified a lot of things.
They do a lot when they'll pull guys. And I mean, they're pulling their center and getting them out on the edge. The Titans do a lot of really good stuff that make that running game go. And in the same way that the Niners do a lot of really good stuff. And both of these teams, one of the things that the Titans and the Niners do really well, which is I think why their running game is so effective, is that their tight ends, fullbacks, and wide receivers aren't afraid to block. And a lot of times you watch, like a Tyreek Hill, for example, a little bit, but if you watch him run the ball when they're on a running play, he's not really blocking.
He doesn't
he's
like contact.
Kind of getting
lot.
Out there and just getting in the way. But man, a lot of these on the Titans and on the Niners, these guys will get out and throw blocks and legitimately try to create some sort of lane or hole for their running back.
The physicality of the Niners receivers, and as you mentioned, they've got an all-pro fullback, and they've got a guy at tight end that everybody wants to talk about his catching abilities, but they've even said that kid, he just likes to block.
Yeah, he just likes contact.
Yeah.
It shows, man. And I mean, that's just why, though, both of those teams have good running games. And it's why I think that the Texans, at times, you're just running it into a pile. There's no hole. There's no lane. You're just running it into the middle, the teeth of the defense. And it's just, boy, I don't know. It's night and day to me when you watch when you watch these three teams and you talk about running games. Just not even close. I think that they probably – Bill O'Brien – would love to run an offense like Kyle Shanahan does as far as running the ball. I guarantee you, if he could run the ball 70% of the time, he absolutely would do that. The problem is, you don't have the same personnel, you don't have the same scheme, and you don't have the same effectiveness.
You don't have the same open mind to offense either.
But, well, that too.
I mean, look, and a week after hiding behind the shadows of Minute Maid Park, just hoping the Astros scandal would go on forever, the Texans, we have a ton
big
to
news.
Talk about
yeah,
with them because
we need to discuss.
They decided instead of just worried about the conference championship games, they were just going to come out and just let the whole world that the pink slips were being handed out. They were clearing house, and they were just going to shake it up.
Yeah, too bad the wrong person.
Yeah.
Got the pink slip. Well, I wouldn't say the wrong person, but the right person didn't get one.
We said it all along. Romeo Crennel was going to be the scapegoat, and he is, amongst others.
Well, he's going to get fired, though. He ain't gone. He still has a job with the organization.
Still.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy that's going to have the blame game centered on his forehead for what happened in Kansas City. Right?
He's what?
He's going to take the blame for what happened in Kansas City.
I don't know that anyone is. If you didn't lose your job, are you really getting blamed?
Yeah,
I mean, if you're still employed, he did lose his job as DC,
right?
And we'll get to it. I know we gotta, we'll break it all down. But a lot of moves being made over there, just the wrong
ones.
Not
the right ones, right? Nope. All right, so there's a lot to get to today, a lot to uncover, and a lot to talk about. If you want to be one of the suspects that gets in here and shares your opinion, HR&P listener line is that place. 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. You can.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome into The Usual Suspects on MLK Day. Hopefully, you're not only enjoying a day off, but you are remembering the man and the reason why you have the day off. As we are working today for you, so wherever you may be in the big city and whatever you may be doing, we're here to kind of recap what happened over the weekend and kick it around in terms of the yays and nays and the whys. But we do have a Super Bowl matchup. We did have Fan Fest for the Astros. We have a shakeup for the Texans.
Did you go to Fan Fest?
I did not.
Why not? Are you not a fan?
No, Barry, I'm a member of the working sports media.
That was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Inside joke, but fantastic.
Yep, absolutely. Not just that inside, because I said it to him on his tweet. I responded to it.
Yeah.
Well, give us some context.
So Barry says it. Tell him about your tweet.
I tweeted out that I think there were more people. This is going to really ruffle some feathers.
Let's do it. I love it.
Man, there's about to be some thirsty-ass people that get upset.
Maybe they won't, depending on their level of understanding.
I just said there are more people that say or pretend to be in sports media than are actually in sports media, because it's true. We see so many people that like to claim that they do this for a living or that it's their, and it's just like, yeah, but
BDB.
You fan out more than you do anything. Like, you're just out there.
BDB.
You can't, you have to take this serious. Like, you know, be objective. Don't take, you know, stupid pictures. Don't do dumb things. Just do your job. And so it's not a... It's
you can't have a mouthful and be objective.
Okay. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm making a statement.
I just want to point out, by the way, too, that my opinions and his opinions are separate. So
okay, that's fine. Because I agree with you.
I'm going to take one angle on this, and I'm going to let you take whatever angle you take. But I'm just saying there are a lot of pretenders out there. That and look, and somebody, when I tweeted it, saying, well, what if you have a podcast or a blog? I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you.
Who are you talking about?
I'm not talking about anyone in particular.
You sure?
I'm just talking about people. I am just talking about people in general and this business in general. In order to, you look all over the United States and it's
I'm going to play Barry on you for a minute.
Okay.
But seriously, though, there had to be someone that was like the root of this. Like when you're thinking about this opinion and it's chapping your ass, there has to be an individual or two that are like in the forefront of your mind that are sitting there.
There's about 15.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you, you know, I'm not going to name them? Names. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to do that.
Any of them are girls?
Huh?
Any of them are girls?
There's girls and guys. There's plenty.
Tell them. Let's start.
Okay. Good. I'm not doing
I'm
that.
Just playing Barry. Come on. Just give us a couple. Come on.
No. Right. I'm not doing it.
Look, I don't disagree with you. You know, I feel very strongly about this, too. And I think that in the day of social media and everything else, and like you mentioned, blogs and otherwise, people have had the ambition to do those types of things like tweet regularly or get into the blog game or the podcast game, but then suddenly with that, draw the conclusion for themselves and pass it on to others that they are
it's
sports
the,
media.
It's the equivalent of this. It's like if you're a blogger, that's what you are. You're a blogger. But don't say that you're a journalist that you know, oh, I cover the Texans. Nah, you blog about the Texans. Like Jerome Solomon covers the Texans. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference that if you go out and open up a WordPress site and start giving your opinions versus what Jerome Solomon is. There's a difference in level. There's a difference in training. There's a difference in skill set. I'm not saying one day you won't be what Jerome is. And that's just one example of many. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just a thing you see in our business and in our industry. And it's annoying. But at the end, I don't care, but it's just annoying. It's annoying to see. Like, I went to FanFest, all right, if we'll blend the two.
Yeah.
I never once got in line to take a picture with the Super Bowl trophy. I never once got in line World Series. I never once got in line to get an autograph from Jose Altuve. I walked around and talked to people at FanFest
for the
TV show.
Yeah,
but there wasn't like, you know, I don't know. I'll give you the other example.
And Sigmund Bloom's probably a bad example. But if we have someone that's a periodic guest on the show, right? Don't put in your bio, ESPN Radio Houston, fan, you know, whatever you are, expert. Because you're not on the station paid by the station. If you make guest appearances on a radio station, you are not
a part of
supposed
that station.
To put that, you're not a part of the station enough to put ESPN talent, you know, ESPN 97.5 talent. No, you're not. You're a guest. You don't get paid by Mr. Gow. So, yeah, I feel what you're saying. And I was having some fun with you when you tweeted that out and said, okay, you got me. But because I already knew that I'm sure whether you got a lot of feedback on it or not a lot of it was going to be honest about the people that probably should own up to some things.
Yeah, I'm not going to call anybody out. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I would call somebody out if there was a reason to. There's no reason to name names and embarrass people or anything like that. And I get what you guys were doing. It's fine. Yeah. But I'm just not going to do that. But I just, you know, it's just an observation. Like, it would have been like if when I was just doing the Sunday show. I mean, I was on ESPN, but it wasn't like I was a day player, like a main
Monday
part.
Friday.
Yeah, I was a Sunday guy. That's what I did. I had a show. It was on Sunday. That's what I did. And so I tried to stay in my lane, and that's all. That's all.
But even then,
just,
if you
see
had
some of them, you're like, oh my God.
But if you had a weekly show and you were paid by the station, you are more legitimate than
well,
most
we,
that try
at one
and
point,
own it.
We were paid on Sundays. Like, Chuck and I were getting paid.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you had a legitimate right to be able to claim that.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people just make guest appearances and suddenly they become.
And I want to point out, it's not just radio. It's mm-hmm. it's radio, it's writing, it's whatever. It's the whole sports media business, whether it be, you know, fantasy, it doesn't matter. Gambling, all of it, it's combined, right?
Right.
So it's just, I just want to be very specific that I'm not singling any one person out. It's just an epidemic right now.
Okay.
It is absolutely an epidemic in this business.
So you went to FanFest?
I did go to FanFest. I got to do a couple things. First of all, I got to say what's up to Derek. Met Derek at the Chick-fil-A by the house. Mm-hmm. Said he's a big fan of the show. It was funny because I walked in and when you pre-order on Chick-fil-A, they just leave it on this thing and with your name on it. And Derek said he was standing there, and they were like, they called my name. And he was like, did you say Derek? They said, no, we said Barry Laminack. And he goes, huh? Barry Laminack? I listen to that dude all the time. And so I happened to walk in right then. He was like, bro, I'm not stalking you. Love the show, though. I was like, oh, cool, dude. Nice to meet you. Thanks for. And somebody else said they saw me at FanFest and that I looked busy and didn't come up. I was like, no, come up and say hi.
Unless the camera's rolling and you're in the middle of an interview or something.
I'm not some diva like AJ Hoffman. Come up and say hi. Come tell me hello. I don't mind. Even if I'm eating, it just depends, right? Like, if I'm having a romantic dinner at an expensive restaurant with my wife, maybe wait. But if I'm at, you know, I was at Five Guys and some dude would just walk by and goes, hey, dude, love the show. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, if you got a microphone in hand and you're interviewing mid-interview, that's where you might want to show some restraint.
Yeah, if the cameras are rolling or whatever. Yeah, but if I'm just walking around looking for somebody to interview, come say hi. I've done it where I did a man on the street at Minute Maid and somebody was like, what's up, Barry? I was like, come on, I'll interview you. Come say hey. It's cool. No big deal.
Some people are scared to approach, or they feel nervous, or they feel like you're boss. Some of them don't care.
I can see that.
Some of them get nervous to do it.
I've only had one person do it while I was eating, and like I said, I was at Five Guys, and it was no big deal. I didn't care.
Right.
But otherwise, man, yeah, come say hey.
I mean, you and I were walking around during the playoffs at Minute Maid, and people were kind of just grabbing us to say, hey, we listen, we love you. And it's just one guy, we mentioned, the one guy was trembling, and we were like, wow, that's crazy to us.
Pretty cool.
We just like interacting with the fans, except for the dumbasses that are fans of six teams and decide to be overzealously egotistical after a win. But that's another story on Twitter. You know, it gets...
Yeah, FanFest was cool, though. They had a lot going on.
Based on what I saw in the news... There was a whole lot of orange Kool-Aid ingested because there's not a single person.
So I didn't, I haven't seen the episode yet because I fell asleep last night. But while I was there, I was interviewing people. And then I also interviewed a trash can. Hmm. So just to get his side of the story. Hmm. So we had, Remy and I, our EP and photographer for the show, we had a blast out there. But it was, it was really cool. They had a lot of really cool stuff to do out there. I just think it was poor timing. Probably not the best week to have FanFest, given everything that went on all week.
Absolutely.
But it was really cool to see it, and I'm glad that they did it for the fans. And it was the first time we got to hear from Astros on the whole scandal.
And based on what the PR department told them, they memorized that statement almost verbatim. They did excellent every time that they were asked
Altuve
a question.
Pretty much just guaranteed they were going to be in the World Series.
That was awesome, though. He didn't stick to script on that quote alone, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we can recap that. There's lots more to get to. Plenty of stories to talk about. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Text that number, call that number, or hit us on Twitter. Second half hour comes up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half hour of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on MLK Day in the big city. Plenty of things to discuss.
Do you have a favorite MLK quote?
I will say this. What I do like is...
No,
I mean, there's several.
That's okay, you don't.
No, there's not even about that, because there are several. I was going to say, but the most obviously recognizable one is...
I have a dream.
I have a dream. Well, Taylor is four, mm-hmm. right? And she comes home, and she says... You know, we don't have school because it's Martin Luther King's birthday. Not his birthday, but we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. And she goes, they told us about I Have a Dream. They told mm-hmm. us about going to water fountains and not being allowed. Mm-hmm. I was like, now, wait a minute. I looked at Lisa. I go, for a school that's just a Montessori school like kindergarten, pre-K, to be teaching kids like that, I like that.
Yeah. They need to know the truth. They need to know what happened.
For sure.
Mine was, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. I like that one. I mean, he's got a lot of them, you know, eye for an eye, leaves everyone blind.
Yeah, he's got a bunch. I wouldn't have been able to give you my, I don't have one either, but he does have a bunch. Like, he has a bunch of quotes that you can go back, and I'm pretty sure there's a Twitter handle dedicated to just his quotes. They put up a lot of them.
This might be just me, but I feel like, you know, I wasn't around when Martin Luther King was alive. And so, or Malcolm X, or John F. Kennedy. And so for me, being born after all these men passed, it feels almost like they weren't real to me because I never saw them. Does that make sense? Like Elvis. Like it's like it's almost like it's like in a movie or something. Because and it's like, man, so there were people that were alive that got to see John F. Kennedy speak. There were people that were alive that got to meet and watch Martin Luther King address.
That's the thing. Whether you say of people, Jesse like Jackson or Elvis Sharpton
performing,
or guys like
the
that.
Beatles, like it's like. I don't know.
That's when the reality hits in of like, wait a minute, you were there in Memphis?
Yeah.
You were there with Dr. King? That's the kind of things where you step back and go, wow, because I'm with you. I mean, for a lot of people, it was like, if you weren't alive when he was, you know, in the forefront of everything that was going on.
It seems mythical. Yeah. It seems, it doesn't, right? And then maybe that's the right word to use. It almost seems mythical. Like it was, but there were, but you know, I mean, our parents were alive and watched him on TV or went and saw him speak. So it's just, but he is on my short list of people, you know, people always ask you alive or dead, if you could have lunch with yes. one person or spend 1 hour with, and Martin Luther King is on that short list for me.
Yeah, we were talking about it and I said mine was Ed Sullivan, remember?
I mean, when you think of a man that
the
was
mythical,
so...
The mythical Ed Sullivan. You know, if you'd have just played Publisher's Clearinghouse as a kid, you could have won and met him. Idiot.
I mean, you think about a guy, people ahead of their time.
Yeah.
That completely had a firm grasp on not only what they were dealing with back then in society, but what was to come. You know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, when you think about quotes like that and then you really sit and kind of digest it, it's rather impressive.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I've read his book. I've read or his biography. I read about Malcolm X because I was fascinated about that time in our country's history because it was such a volatile and pivotal time in our country's history. And so I read about a lot of those. Huey P. Newton. I mean, there's so many people, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI and the CIA, and there was just so much that took place in the 60s. It's such a fascinating time in our country's history. That you can almost forget that a lot of people we know went through it. But yeah, fascinating person to me, Martin Luther King was. Mm-hmm. And the way that he handled things, and because there really was two ways to go about it. There was his way and Malcolm X's way. There was two different ways to handle that. And for so many people, not just Martin Luther King, but for so many people to have gone what they went through and never strike back, that's just not me. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have sat at a counter in a malt shop and have people throw malts on me and slap yep. me and beat me and literally sit there and not do anything. But it was almost like if you did react, it was going to be even worse. Like that was the best plan of action
sure.
was to take no action. So just a fascinating time in our country's history and a sad time in our country's history too. But I find it interesting when you read and hear about the people of that era that made such a difference on both sides of the fence.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, and the thing is that unfortunately with a life cut that short, way too short,
mm-hmm.
and you just wonder what if, what could have been if, you know, he was alive and lived a long life and was able to, you know, continue with the inroads that he was starting and obviously get it to a point now in society where there was a totally different mentality just to see what kind of effect it could have had, how effective he could have been. And unfortunately, his life was taken just way too soon.
Eric tweeted me, Eric Hargrove tweeted and said, that was Ed McMahon for the Publisher's Clearinghouse, not Ed Sullivan. Shut up, Eric. No one cares.
He's right.
Whatever.
Because I was sitting there
no
going,
one cares.
Y'all call me old, and I don't ever remember no Ed Sullivan and Publisher's Clearinghouse, but that clears it all up.
I thought he was talking about Ed McMahon. So
I was talking about the
bad.
Talk show host.
Well, Ed McMahon was on Johnny Carson. You're not talking about him. You were
Ed
talking
McMahon
about,
was, yes!
You were talking about Ed Sullivan.
Correct, yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about Ed McMahon. My bad. Shut up, Eric. No,
Ed Sullivan's
Eric,
a really big show, and this is the Beatles.
No one cares about the words.
Really? Nobody cares about really? The words.
Words don't matter in
That's
radio.
False.
Words don't matter in radio, Eric.
Tell that to the text line. They correct us for every pronunciation or mispronunciation.
Words don't matter in radio, just intent. Hey, Barry, I played your cat story for my wife and kids. They were rolling. Oh, great. I'm glad that they got a big kick out of me having cat crap on my head.
Yeah, that's crap.
Joel is 100% correct.
Read that again, please.
Easier to take a blowout. Close games or ref errors rip your heart out and are tough to recover from. Barry, please reconsider rooting for the Patriots. We're a first-class organization.
Cheaters.
Never in a million, trillion, bazillion years Cheaters. Would I root for the Patriots.
You should
I'm
have
sorry.
That exact same mentality about the Packers, sir.
No.
Shut up, Nick.
No. What time, when's y'all's next time you're going on location? No idea.
I don't either. So. Now that football season's over, we're not driving to
probably
Beaumont.
Slows down a
but
little bit.
But you can go to tight ends on Wednesday, 4 to 7.
This Wednesday, 4 to 7?
The Blitz will be hosting from tight ends.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't asking about the Blitz. He was asking about the usual suspects.
Right, Nick?
Nick? Okay. He was asking about the suspects, not the Blitz.
Well, we'll be
so
out on remote eventually.
No, yeah.
But if you like the Blitz,
ain't no mice
I'll
in your
there.
Pocket.
Well,
he's asking about
you
us.
You are a member of the Blitz.
We don't care. I didn't read that so we could talk about the Blitz. I read that so we could talk about us.
My bad.
But he's right, though. When he mentions
traitor-ass Nick.
When
are you a suspect or are you a blitzer?
That's what I was going to say.
4 to 7 Wednesday.
Get out of here.
When he says that he's going to be there with the Blitz, he is a member. But based on whenever they go to Vegas and he skips on us.
Yeah,
the
cool. So we don't have to see you on here no more. You're a blitzer now. Yeah. We don't have to hear from you,
I'm
see
a
you no more.
For life.
No.
Why are you guys taking away my title?
No, you're promoting the Blitz.
No.
You're promoting the Blitz.
I can't promote the Blitz?
No.
You're okay. Stevie Wonder because you're a part-time lover.
Not when someone wants to see us. Of course you promote the Blitz. They're part of the family, part of the team. But when someone asks about us and you promote another show, that's clown stuff, bro. Traitor-ass Nick. Get out of here.
Wait. We're back to normal. I feel so much better. It was so creepy when y'all were dating last week.
We don't go together
really
no more, bitch.
Me for
I break up with you.
You want to play touch butt? It's therapeutic.
No. By the way, I do want to give a shout out to my niece, Amanda, for running the marathon. I went to support her. There was... You ever gone and... I'm sure you went and watched to support
Lisa.
Run, yeah. So we ended up right by the finish line. And you want to talk about some good people watching?
Yeah.
Just go watch people run and finish a marathon. Mm-hmm. At the finish line is the best place to watch because you see the joy of finishing, you see the agony of finishing, and then you just see random weirdness. There was some cool stuff, like there was several different people running that were blind, so they had somebody running with them, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yep.
And that would be scary and intimidating. Man, you're about to go run 26 miles around a city, and you can't see. You talk about courage? You talk about bravery?
Well,
that's crazy.
And I've said this with Lisa. She's run, I think, 12 marathons. She's run Boston. She's qualified and run Boston. The things that she tells me story-wise, too, about, especially with your fear of hygiene and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, whether you're one of the, you know, world-class Olympic mm-hmm. type that run it and try to win the money, to the people that are just serious marathoners, they have no qualms about letting it fly in their pants. We talked about Travis and the football players and stuff like that. But the serious marathoners just...
Yeah, they poop and pee.
Yeah, all over themselves.
I saw one guy that was running with a sign, and it had he had a cutout of himself. And he looked like he must have weighed 350, 400 pounds. And it said, "This was me." And he was holding that sign, and he ran the whole half marathon with that sign. And he was like half of the size he was.
I hope the picture was mesh so that the air got through it. Otherwise,
it's wind resistant. Yeah.
It makes it a lot harder to run.
It was awesome, though, to see that. Like, that guy, how proud he was that he had, you know, lost so much weight and did it. And
that's
now
amazing.
He's running.
That's
he went
great.
From being as big as he was. My favorite one, though, and I just know, okay, and I'm assuming, but I just know how this conversation is going this morning, wherever she is. But you look up, and there's a woman in a wheelchair. Now, not an athletic wheelchair like I don't have legs or a leg and I'm going to do the marathon, the wheelchair marathon. No. She's got like a broken foot. So she's in a boot. She's in a wheelchair. And what I assume is her husband is pushing her. So he pushed her for a whole half marathon.
Wow.
And you know that this lady at work today is like, "I ran the half marathon." No, woman, you sat a half marathon.
Was it at
Your
least
husband,
like a running wheelchair, I hope?
No, it was just like one you would leave the hospital in.
Oh, no.
So this man pushed his wife, because you know what happened? She broke her foot probably last week. And she's like, "Well, I'm still going to do it." And he's like, "No, you mean I'm going to do it. You sat a marathon. I ran and pushed a marathon.
Based on what that would feel your, like, he ran a marathon.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know she's at work bragging about it. I bet she got a medal, which I think is horse crap. Don't give that woman a medal. She sat in a chair with a broke-ass foot while her husband ran the half marathon and pushed her. Don't count. I don't want to hear it.
Nope. If they did the half,
she shouldn't have got a medal.
He literally should get a medal for running a full.
She shouldn't even have a bib. Like, she just give it all to him.
Not that it's a blocking sled you're pushing the entire way, but if it's one of those old-fashioned metal wheelchairs with a human being in it, you get a lot, and the hills and the terrain and everything like that. Dude gets credit for running a full marathon in my mind.
Well, it ain't easy.
No.
I mean, it wasn't like she was huge or anything, but still, that's a body. That's a human being and a wheelchair. And how many potholes are on the streets of Houston you got to navigate in a wheelchair?
And the hills and all that.
Don't forget that. You're right. When you go through Allen Parkway.
And the terrain and all that they were running. Come on.
Because I remember there was two difficult, when I ran the marathon, there was two difficult spots. I think Allen Parkway was one. And then there was an overpass you had to go over. And that was no joke. No.
And the other thing is, like I said, if you're using one of those high-tech wheelchairs, They have three wheels. They're aerodynamic. They're light.
But
they have shock absorbers. But if you're using a hospital wheelchair,
you know this buster ass lady was at the finish line, like, "Oh, I'm so tired." Bitch, you just sat down for 13 miles. What do you mean you're tired? Get out of here. It don't count, lady.
Oh, the wind. The wind was windy. Yeah. And my eyes got
my lips are chapped. It doesn't count, ma'am. You shouldn't have even been on the course. Just do it next year. But you made your husband push you just so you could say you were in the marathon. That is selfish. You are selfish, ma'am.
No one likes the coverage, and I said to Lisa, one of the most impressive things was, I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago, she literally did not train and went out and ran the half with and finished in the top, I forget, whatever, 100 or 200 or whatever. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Absolutely incredible in my mind. Because people say they're athletic and they do a lot of things working out and otherwise.
No, that's
a special kind of athletic to be able to do a full or a half.
Somebody said that wheelchair couple still beat my buddy. No, the man and the wheelchair couple beat your buddy. The lady didn't do nothing. She didn't beat your buddy. She sat and rode while your buddy lost to her husband. She didn't do nothing. Don't include that lady in none of that talk. None of it.
You don't know. She could have beat his buddy by swinging a purse or a stick if they challenged the fact she didn't run the marathon. Okay. We're rolling through hour number one of the show. If you want to join us, the HRP Lister line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. We'll roll even further into hour number one when we come back next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. Whether you are off today, working today, or somewhere in between, we are here for you, and we appreciate you being there for us by listening to the show. Just kind of getting settled in, kicking around some other, several topics. Plenty of stuff to get into, and obviously if we delve into one, it's going to take a little while because there's lots of stories. We touched a little bit on one of the two games yesterday. And I guess we talked about both games. But by now, you've pretty much heard all you needed to hear about those two games. We know who's in the Super Bowl. We know that the two teams that won the games yesterday won them fair and square. We're not going to replay review and referees and anything's questionable. The teams that were supposed to win yesterday won.
Did you think that the Titans would put up more of a fight?
I thought that it was going to be a blowout, and people hammered me on social media after I said it on Friday. But you know what?
Well, 35-24 is not a blowout.
Well, that was at the very
end. And I realized they got another score, but still.
I mean, that was at the very end. Otherwise, they were up as much as 17 or 18 points and in the second half. But I will say this. The way they came out in the first half, and Henry had a rushing touchdown, and then, another – he looked like – if he was able to do what he started out doing and they were able to run the football like that, it was going to be a tight game, and it was going to be what every Titans fan was hoping for. But obviously, the second half, a different story. And before the half, the way the Chiefs were able to rebound again and come back set the tone.
Big surprise to me from that game was the Titans' defense and how it didn't show so well. I thought it would have held up better. I didn't think that the Chiefs would put up 35 against that defense. But let's be real, that's an offense that when it's clicking and when things are going well, and it wasn't a great day. I mean, Mahomes, you know, 294 yards, 3 touchdowns. So it wasn't like he threw for what he had over 400 against them in the previous meeting between the two.
Well, he also led them in rushing, and that was a big deal.
When they played that one big long scamper for a touchdown, which I think turned the tide for good.
First of all, learn how to tackle if you're the Titans.
How about tackle? They just led up like he was going to go out of bounds. Yeah, well,
you look at some of the guys when he started to do the slow-mo spin. You look at some of the guys, the defensive backs, that just kind of rolled away instead of, like, just teeing him up and laying him out. And you're like, come on, guys. I realize it's a quarterback and all this other stuff, but he's a runner at that point. Take your shot.
Yeah.
Hit him.
And then I think the bigger problem with that, and it might go to what Barry's talking about in terms of the Titans' defense, but there was three consecutive scores. They scored 3 times consecutive in 3 consecutive series. Mm-hmm. It was the Tyreek Hill shovel pass, and then there was a Tyreek Hill 20-yard reception because that Logan Ryan, that cornerback for the Titans, just completely missed him. And then it was that Patrick Mahomes touchdown. And when the Chiefs score on 3 consecutive series like that, I don't think anybody can beat them. I just don't.
Texans saw that and heard what you just said and went, God, they were only halfway there to what they did to us.
Yeah.
Seven straight touchdowns.
You just can't do that, in my opinion. Not you can't allow the Chiefs to score on 3 consecutive series. That, to me, is a big no-no.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, let's be real. The difference in this game was that first drive by the Titans where they had to settle for a field goal and not a touchdown. If they score a touchdown there, this is a different football game. So I feel like if they go down there, they're up 21, you know, or they're up 14. But you can't settle, and that's the big takeaway from me, is you can't settle for field goals. Now, I realize it wasn't the difference in the final score, but I think if you score a touchdown there and then, you know, they come back and get the touchdown, you have to convert in the red zone. And it was surprising that they didn't, because all year long, the Titans are one of the best in the red zone and converting touchdowns. So surprising that they started off and had to settle for a field goal. Then they get the punt. Yeah, they got the punt right after that too. So, you know, if they score there, if they get, because then you're talking about the Titans having 3 touchdowns in a row on 3 consecutive drives.
Yeah, but
instead you got field goal, touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a big difference for the team, you know, for both teams.
Because they had a streak in the red zone that they were talking about not settling for a field goal. Once they get in, they don't get out without a 7. And so you look at that aspect, and then you look at the fact that we always talk about balance, and we talk about the running game. But the fact that Romo made a great point, when all year did you see the Chiefs run 3 consecutive running plays, let alone more than that? And on that one drive, they just kept saying, whether it be Mahomes running it by, you know, just improvising or just handing the ball off
to Williams,
the Titans weren't expecting that. They were expecting that high-powered offense to be looking for Tyreek Hill and looking all over across the field for Hardman and you know, and Kelsey and everything that they did. But you know what? It threw them for a loop because suddenly they were playing not smash mouth football, but they were running the football. And when they were running it effectively, just like we said in the Niners game, if you're running it effectively and the other team's not stopping you, why should you stop doing it?
Yeah, it was a weird... I felt like Damian Williams had a better game than he did.
Because he caught so many passes, short passes, that you would think is just like a run.
Yeah, but I mean, he averaged 2.6 yards a carry. That's terrible. He ran the ball 17 times for 45 yards. That's not going to get it done against the Niners in the Super Bowl. He's going to have a better game.
What was
game.
His receptions?
He had like 5, I think. He caught 5 passes. Yeah. I don't know what the numbers. Let's see. 5 passes, 44 yards, 8.8 on average per catch.
I think that's why people thought he's more effective than he was, because there was those short passes that he got yards out.
I mean, he almost had 100 yards total from scrimmage if you do that, but I think just rushing the ball, if Patrick Mahomes is going to be the leading rusher for the Chiefs, that's going to be a difficult thing, because what that means is that the Niners are getting a lot of pressure up front, and it probably means that middle is clogged and everything else. So I don't know. I think you're going to have a better day out of Damian Williams on the ground than 2.6 yards a carry versus the Niners.
And did I miss something, or did Shady McCoy just get sent home?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, he was taking it. Once they brought him in, he was taking at least half the load and getting carries for them. Then they were going to rest him 1 week when they kind of held him out. But I never heard anything that there was like season ending or anything like that. But suddenly Williams has been the only guy. And then you look at the other side of the equation. And unfortunately, you know, Coleman got hurt for the Niners. But you've got three really versatile running backs with speed with San Francisco. Mm-hmm. The depth on their offensive between receivers and running backs is ridiculous.
Yeah. San Francisco, I mean, outside of, you know, just not having faith in Garoppolo, they really have been a slept on offense. We talked about the points that they put, you know, have put up throughout the year. And it's just, that offense gets slept on. And it's kind of like, I'm not going to say I told you so or I called it on Friday, but boy, you see, it just looked like Gary Kubiak's offense all over again. When you start seeing those three levels of the bootleg on the post with the tight ends running that middle route, or that crossing route, and it's so effective if you run the ball well. And when you put up 220 yards, it's almost like it's unstoppable at that point.
It is.
If Mostert's going to run for 220 and you can now play action and bootleg with Garoppolo and you got Kittle, you know, running a crossing route, it's game over,
man.
It's
the layers. It is game over. Too, because they even said, like, most of the time when you're using the fullback, when the ball is snapped, when the fullback is lined up on the right side and the quarterback turns, the defense is trained to go, it's going right. But for them to be as part of the play call, you take one step, you stop, you completely change directions, and you go left. The whole defense is kind of going, well, I can't even stop that fast. And suddenly they're rattling off 5, 6, 7 yards. Yeah. And then it becomes, like you said, an unstoppable offense. So,
yeah.
All right, that's in a nutshell. The conference championship games, a little bit more detail on that, and plenty more to get to and talk about as we continue to roll on. 2 hours still to go of the show, so if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. Heard we had some problems with the stream, but now it seems to be back up and working well. So if you're having any kind of issues, let us know. Otherwise, looking forward to hour number two of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Jump up and get down.